This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, it is hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are here to look at the top stories of the day across the world of sports. As we usually do it at 2 o'clock, but today at 2 we had Jerry Jones on and then Jason Kidd on. And we were off and running here in Oxnard, California. But let's take a moment to take a pause and review everything that's been transpiring in the world of sports. Over the weekend and into today, a lot going on, and including this Aaron Rodgers story evolving just a little bit more. When Fish was on, I wasn't sure if he was spitballing or if he was passing along some breaking news. But so there is a deal between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers to make sure he is going to play this season, and then they'll move on from him before next year.
Yes, it appears what they're going to do is they're going to do the void trick, where they're going to say after this season of football, your 2023 year goes away in your contract. So he would be going in, whatever the way it works, would be when they get to next offseason, if they didn't trade him, then he would have 1 year left and he would walk, which would get you a third round comp pick. And they're like, obviously, we don't want that. And you want to be traded. So they're going to set it up to where they have to trade him next offseason. So it's going to be the last dance.
Yeah,
the last dance in Green Bay.
Yeah, I wonder if he is going to be the one in charge of, listen, I'd like to go here, or I would like to go there. Is he going to work in concert with the front office, or is he going to allow the front office to go get the best deal he can? Me personally, I try, if I was a team, I would try and go do this right now. I mean, let's go do this right now. I mean, I'm interested in being aggressive about it. I don't want to watch him play in Green Bay another year and have all that. You know, I if I'm one of those teams that desperately could use a quarterback, I keep talking about the Raiders and, you know, teams like that, Philadelphia. I'm not letting this go. I'm gonna say, listen, you can talk about voidable year and all that stuff. Turn down my offer I'm about to make you.
Yeah.
You know, and see, and because Rodgers, but then again, Rodgers might say, well, yeah, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. I don't want to go there. And now you're like, well, wait a minute, you want me to trade you, but you're holding me up, and they've got the best offer.
You know,
they've got the most draft capital. I'm trying to help you here by trading you, but you're not working with me.
It's a hell of a power play. If this thing works out that way, to where, and that's what it looks like it's going to be, is that he will show up, he will play, they will trade him next offseason to where he wants to go, because that's the leverage he's creating.
Wow.
Is he could just say, oh, okay, don't trade me. I'll play out my last year. I'll be an unrestricted free agent. Like, you'll get a comp pick. Good luck.
That's why I move him now.
Yeah, that's a hell of a play by him if he gets that.
Well, here's what I'd be thinking if I'm Green Bay, Brian. Tell me if this sounds good to you at all. Rodgers wants out.
Yeah.
He's talking about not even showing up. We don't want that. We can't afford to have that.
Right.
But with the clarity of this being his final year, we got the Smith guys still rushing. We got a decent secondary and a pretty good offensive line. If we free up some money to sign Davante Adams, because that's what this moves, now we can really go all in this year, right? And who's going to be available in trade? Let's go credit card shopping and try to make this the kind of roster that Tom Brady got to enjoy in Tampa. And then Aaron Rodgers will go after we're back in the NFC Championship game or even winning the Super Bowl. But to me, from a front office perspective, this is exciting because it gives me license right now to go out and shop. We're rebuilding when he's gone. We'll be tanking until we get our next quarterback, pretty much. Let's go ahead and spend all the money we got from 2022 and 2023 right now, and we'll pay the piper when Rodgers is gone.
Well, I can tell you where some of that money is going to go, because when I saw that the Houston Texans traded for Anthony Miller from the Bears, I was like, that's weird. You already have a slot receiver. But apparently the story is that another part of Aaron Rodgers' demand, and they're going to do it, is you have to go get me Randall Cobb.
At $7 or $8 mil?
At yeah. $8 million.
Okay.
He's making his base salary is like $8.25 million. So well, Aaron's like, yeah. You know,
I don't know if that's quite what I had in mind when I talked about going all in.
And
but
they're going to.
Okay.
Because they're going to do what he wants to get him to play football. As opposed to, and if Brian were there, Brian would be going, why are we doing any of this?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to retire. He's going to show up.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It offends your sensibilities.
But they're going to let him get everything he wants and be out of here a year from now. They're going to bring back his 30-year-old declining slot player because he said do it. And that also means that when they call Houston, Houston's like, yeah, I know. That's why we traded for Anthony Miller. We knew that you guys needed Randall Cobb. Now, here's the thing. You're going to give us more than you want to give us for this because currently your quarterback has you grabbed by the satchel.
Yeah.
And you have to trade for this player. So we'll take a third-round pick instead of a seven.
If I'm Green Bay, I'm on the phone with Philadelphia right now. I'm like, listen, you've got multiple threes. We've got these players we can free up. I mean, if you want some of these guys, we've got a couple. We've got our own first. We've got Miami's first. We've got we've got Indy's first, potentially, depending on how much Carson Wentz plays. Listen, let's do this thing right now. Let's just knock it out right now. And then if you're Green Bay, like I say, I'm willing to start the journey now. It's not going to be, to me, I guess it's, and I understand what you're saying, Journal. It's like, okay, we're all in for this 1 year. And what if we don't get there? Then it's going to be that
Philly's
year.
Still going to have those picks next when we get to January or February,
yeah,
whenever it ends.
But what if you're Philadelphia and all of a sudden you watch Aaron Rodgers play and it doesn't go well for him? He doesn't have the NFC Championship magic.
Nobody else is holding three picks.
He's an older guy, and oh wait, he's got the calf pull all of a sudden. Oh wait, he's hurt this. He's done that.
Yeah.
I'm trying right now. If I'm Green Bay, if we're going to do this, I'm trying to get the best possible offer I can for the player at that level. It's like trading for Porzingis.
Yeah.
How do we get that? Right now, Aaron Rodgers' level of trade acceptance,
it was a great year.
It's a high.
Yeah.
Now, if you get through and it's like, well, Aaron, we saw a little bit of rust with this guy.
I could hear that.
I'm just trying to play the other side of it that if you're Green Bay, like, hey, this guy's going to play for us for 1 year. He's been a pain in our butt the last 3 years. Let's just go. Let's play.
He'll just threaten retirement.
Let's get Love that year of experience. We'll go into it. We'll have those picks. We'll have our own picks. If we're not any good, we'll pick high. We'll take Philly's pick.
Okay.
And I don't know.
I'm coming back to you with this. You believe in desperate team theory, don't you, Brian?
I do. We're
going to have a full roster of guys desperate to play good enough to keep A-Rod. We got to win the Super Bowl, make sure nothing but good vibes. And then A-Rod's going to be like, I can't leave this. This is the best.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of sounds very Tom Brady-like, It's like, I don't know. This New England thing, it was a good time. I think that he is
going cheap on me. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's the new trend. LeBron said it going to Miami.
Yeah.
Tom said it going to Tampa.
Yeah.
If you're a Hall of Fame quarterback and your team won't spend, you say, trade me then, bro.
Yeah. If you're making me have to jump through hoops just to keep you,
yeah,
I'm not interested in
and
you.
You're demanding that at the end of the year you pick where you go to.
Yeah.
So like
Philadelphia's got the best C-word. Philadelphia's got the best haul. They do. Philadelphia.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers is gonna tell you no.
I'm calling Howie.
I'm not playing there. So you can tell them I will retire.
Okay, if he says that, then it's like, listen here, you MF-er. We're trying to help you here. We're trying to move you on to another team.
But Aaron. That's cool. Denver.
Denver doesn't have enough. Denver doesn't make enough sense for us because they don't have the picks that we need to rebuild since you're going to leave.
Then I'll go home.
All right. That's fine. We'll play on.
That's what you got to do. That's the calling of the bluff.
I play on. I'm not going to let, again, I sound like the hard A guy, but I am not going to let Aaron Rodgers dictate how I operate my football team. I'm just not.
It looks like more teams are willing to do it than ever, doesn't it? We're inching in that direction.
Because we're terrified of going out and getting – we're terrified because we're not sure that Jordan Love is really the answer here.
Yeah.
Jordan Love could be either really good or he could be the 21st best quarterback in the league. But you drafted him. as a front office, we picked this guy. We traded up for this guy.
Yeah.
Let's start the journey. If we got this a-hole over here that's not helping us one bit as far as, you know, trying to work with us. But I would go to Roger and say, listen, okay, we're going to trade you. We are going to trade you. But I'm telling you where I'm going to trade you. Because this is the one team that I have to look at. You look out for yourself, I'm looking out for myself. And that's where I'm sitting in your rear. Mm. And if he doesn't go for it, then I'm like, fine, you retire. We'll turn in the paperwork that says you're retired. We'll hold you as Green Bay Packer, reserve, retired. And if you want to play anywhere else, they got to give us compensation for you to come off that list.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you should do it.
Yep.
They
if
won't.
You're, if you're a badass.
My buddies up there are cowards.
Pat Riley did it in Miami and LeBron left, you know, but then he was back with Jimmy Butler, you know, so I think there will be holdouts, you know, and will remain crusty. But I do think the NBA is a crystal ball into where this is going.
Yeah.
And the players like Russell Wilson, a lot of what made him so antsy was watching that Super Bowl. Remember that story?
Sure.
And he's sitting up there rattling around on his phone to his agent like, I can't believe this. Tom has linebackers and a defensive line and a secondary and an offensive line and three amazing wide receivers. What's Seattle doing to me, bro? Yeah. Okay, I need to go somewhere where they're worried about winning championships, not managing a budget year to year.
Yeah.
And I do think that is really going to take hold, especially with Tom's old ass going out there and be like, see, I'm still the GOAT. They're like, man, I thought we were done with this. Yeah. He's not as good as I am right now. His supporting cast just has no holes, and that shouldn't be what teams are doing here in this salary cap era. Anyway, Cowboys have the day off of practice back there at 2:40 in Krusty's Corner. He gave you all of his takeaways from both Saturday and Sunday. You know, they had one day of practice and then a day off, and now they're doing 2 days of practice and a day off, so we're back on another day off. But overall, do you like what you're seeing, Brian?
Yeah, you know what? I spent a lot of time with Dan Quinn, and I'm trying not to, because I'm the world's worst that gets involved with the Kool-Aid drinking at times, you know. But watching Dan Quinn work with those defensive linemen yesterday, it gave me hope that maybe this team on that side of the ball has a guy that gets it, that understands it, that can convey the message, can bring the energy, can bring the enthusiasm, can bring the knowledge that, hey, we got to play this way. You know, he's telling those defensive linemen yesterday, listen, he goes, one of them made a, you know, it was Gallimore made a bad read. And he says, listen, if you're going to read the wrong thing, read it quick. Read it quick. Get your foot in the ground, read it quick, and go. That, you know, he wants these guys to play with some tempo, with some speed. But he's on them. He's trying to teach them about, hey, listen, when you come around the corner, that quarterback has that ball. He's moving. He's out of the pocket. He's in that three-yard space right now where he's thinking about, am I going to run or am I going to throw? That's where you got to capture him. It's not back here in the middle of the pocket. It's when he moves. So he's teaching these guys. It's like, listen, it ain't going to happen right here. It's going to happen over here.
You after know, he's moved.
Yeah, after he's moved. Yeah, he goes, and this is that time. He goes, when he's holding that ball, he hasn't thought about it yet. Am I going to run? Am I going to throw? And I just appreciate guys like that.
That are teachers,
that are on the field, you know, and not the thing where it's just you're kind of like, it's the same old, oh, I've heard this before. I mean, I was watching Aiden Dundee, the defensive line coach, too, working with these guys, and they were working on their drops and stuff like that. Those, you know, anytime Randy is dropping, I'm like, ugh. But he's the best dropper they got, you know, I mean, without Tank out there. But he's dropping in coverage, and he's getting on his guys about their eyes. He's like, guys, you're just not seeing this. You got to see it. This is what you're looking at, you know, and he's trying to explain that stuff. And there's a lot of times in games you could work on technique and all that and just go out there and play.
Yeah,
but I'm starting to get a good vibe with the guys that are brought in, you know, and I'm getting a decent vibe, too. I'm like, on these corners, at least getting their hands on the ball and stuff like that, making plays and things. That gives me a good vibe. At least it's trying to go in that right direction.
I want to believe in Quinn so much.
It might be his players that aren't good enough to help
so
him.
So I wanted to ask about Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley. If this guy's so good, why'd both those guys go kaput?
Yeah. That's a fair question. But sometimes it when you're a coach, it's on the players too. You know, it's on. I mean, that first year of that first year of Vic Beasley, I think he was
he had one great year.
He had one great year, and then all of a sudden did football. You know, you like to always ask about, is football important to these guys anymore? Hmm. You know, and I think there's things. I think if Dan Quinn would have won the Super Bowl, him and Tom Dimitroff would still be in Atlanta right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd still be coaching and or being the general manager. But I don't know. I think there's certain times where players, you could try your best to reach them, and if they don't buy in, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be good at. I could see buying in with what I'm watching, standing on that fence watching that. I could see the trying to do it the way that they're coaching these guys.
We had Jason Kidd on 2 hours ago, and we asked him about that piece in the Ringer. You know, mm-hmm. there was one former player that said he tried to mind bleep me, and others said, you know, he's playing mind games with me, and that was sort of at least the story. And you know, it's the latest in many stories, and you know how media narratives can go. Maybe it's way off base, but we asked him about that. And, you know, he said he didn't look at it like playing mind games. He was just trying to motivate a player to be his absolute best, and he had a very young team on his hands.
Well, he also kind of said, look, I don't want to say I was playing mind games, and then he tried to think of another word for mind games. He's like, no, I mind mental exercise. yeah, so 100%. That's exactly what I was doing.
But I think when he was talking about how he, you know, you asked him that question, what did he learn from these first stops, and he talked about the need for communication and transparency. Maybe he wasn't trying to play mind games. He was just a little bit more quiet and demanding, and people were interpreting that that's what he was trying to do when he just wasn't communicating his thoughts enough. But I feel like, number one, there's a chance that maybe what young players need is a little bit of a toxic motivation technique, and maybe Jason Kidd's equipped to do that. You know, make because the story in the Ringer paints an absolutely great picture of Giannis getting benched and then over time developing the kind of disposition that allowed him to really dominate games and want to go out and snatch the hearts from men. And maybe that's, you know, more of what you need. But also it did sound like, you know, if those things held Jason Kidd back from continuing in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, I think he genuinely addressed those and reflected upon them. What was your take on that?
I think it sounds like it. I mean, and based on talking to some other people, in and around the team, like, yeah, it seems like, Jason Kidd in his first couple of stops might've been a guy that was like, I want to do everything. Like, I'm in control, and maybe he wasn't a good enough communicator, but still wanted to be the guy that's like, look, not only are we going to do things my way here, but I want to be here in the kitchen, and now it's kind of like, okay, maybe not. Maybe I was a bad communicator.
I was overwhelmed. Yeah,
maybe I'm not great at personnel. Maybe I need to just let everybody else do their part, and my job will be to teach all these people basketball. And then we'll go win.
It'll be interesting to see if he reads Mark and Nico as incompetent, though.
Hmm.
It's like, man, I've got to step in now. Got to. And does that cause friction? You know, that's something. He could take a step back in the first year. Bill Parcells did that with us. He's that first year in 2003. He took a step back and evaluated what all we were doing. In 04, his thumbprint on all this was happening. So Maybe Jason is going to take that approach until something triggers him. It's like, okay, I can't sit here and watch them do this anymore.
Well, I want the force because, you know, not only was that piece a little bit critical, but it also showed how he and his assistant, Sean Sweeney, were incredible at, you know, having great standards, having the guys drill things until they got it right. And I think one of the things we learned about Rick around the time of his exit is maybe throughout the year he was deferring to people to keep a job instead of insisting, hey, I'm Rick Carlisle, Hall of Fame basketball coach. Let's go ahead and do things my way. That sound good to you? You know, and that's what I want a little bit more of, because if you got Mark Cuban handing credit to Bob Vulgaris, how does that credit grow into somebody who's usurping Donnie Nelson's authority? It's nobody telling Mark and Bob that they're stupid computer guys, you know? So if it's Jason Kidd or Rick Carlisle or whoever, I want that kind of a voice. And, you know, sometimes you're not making friends as you're in the process of leading an organization back to where it needs to be. And I hope Jason's not afraid to do that. FC Dallas finally got a dub over the weekend. Ricardo Pepi had a hat trick. FCD whooped the Galaxy 4-0.
What's up now? I feel like Pepi is going to have a bright future around here.
Yeah.
Feel
well,
peppy about it, don't you?
Yeah. I feel like he's going to have a bright future here, maybe be a career FC Dallas guy.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? It's like, hey,
sounds
we found
like
another
good.
One. He's scoring. He's making plays for us. The Hunt brothers are probably like, boy, what you think? We could get $200,000-$300,000 for this? Oh, yeah. Stock the war chest with money we never spend on star players. Sorry, I didn't mean to be bitter about
get
that.
Get Austria on the phone.
Hunt, you know, these guys are sports royalty, but come on. Can we have a little bit of fun?
What's his transfer window looking like right now?
Yeah, right.
What do we say, Gavin? Figure it out, FC Dallas.
Yeah, figure it out, man. It's not that hard to win the MLS. You just got to want it. Be a little bit committed, okay? You own plenty of businesses that are bringing in millions and millions of dollars. MLS soccer, you could probably write the whole budget with your dang personal checking account, Mr. Hunt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just scratch it out and make us the winners, why don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know you want to. Stop letting the L.A. teams have all the fun. Crying out loud. Seattle? Who's Seattle? Oh, well, we're willing to spend money.
Kraken.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the Seattle Kraken. Sounders.
The Sounders.
It is a little bit frustrating, though, and I know FC Dallas fans are probably just as loyal and diehard of any of the sports fans here in North Texas.
We'll sell y'all, too.
They deserve it. You're damn right they would.
That's it.
Boy, those
you're
hunts.
Going to Houston.
Austin.
You're out.
Austin. Take it, Austin.
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 Houston doesn't have a team?
They both do.
You're going to San Antonio.
Yeah.
All
I
of
needed
you.
That. That was good. Let's roll.
$80.
Jeff, what do you want to talk about next?
I got some advice for the Cowboys based on something Jerry told us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I'm back. I hope you're having a good one. I am. Just got an update on the baby. Baby number two is coming September 10th. Yeah, I spaced him out. Yeah, I'm old dad. Don't worry about it, okay? It's time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day, and it is brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art, and by Mark Rubin, Rubin & Associates. If you are drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call. Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. DallasTexasLegal.com. Here they are, Kavanaugh and Broaddus.
Hello.
Yo.
I am Jeff.
I'm Brian.
I let Brian be Brian this time. Sometimes I switch it up on him.
He got me the other day on that one, by the way.
I sure did. I'll get you. I'm sneaky.
Swingers.
Sneaky Pete.
Mm-hmm. I'm also the man who knows how to do laundry in a laundromat. Brian is not.
So disappointing.
Might have to get to that story in this segment.
Gosh.
Brian
Why?
Chose the two. Like, Brian's a scout. So in theory, Brian can look at things and be like, oh, yeah, look at that. Mm-hmm, that one's working great. Ooh, that one, not so much. Probably don't want to put that one in. And Brian managed to pick two faulty machines at the laundromat and turn a 45-minute exercise into an hour-and-a-half adventure.
I did.
And it
I
was
felt bad
incredible.
About it. No, I felt bad about it. And it was to the point where
your clothes are still wet. They're not even done.
The shorts are. The cargo shorts have, and I had to hang them up.
He kept trying to put nickels in. They take quarters. They were different in his day.
They were way different in my day. It was too expensive to begin with.
Been a good run, Brian.
It has been a good run. General, I appreciate you acknowledging that. Me and Jerry kind of, we get emotional about these things.
Yeah, he really teared up when he got that dryer finally going.
Did you guys try the machine in the hotel?
No. See, I thought I had seen a sign somewhere in the hotel that said laundry one direction, but then we were up on our floor and I was looking for the sign and it didn't look like it was up there. So I was like, whatever, we'll go to the laundromat. And so we did. Went great for me.
It
amazing.
Did, yeah.
I've got my clothes are so good to go. It's so incredible. And Brian was so mad the whole time. It's just like you got a picture like proud Brian or sad Brian. And sad Brian is just staring at the washing machine. He's just standing in front of
it,
looking at it.
I was.
And he's like, it says there's 14 minutes left. And I was like, didn't it say there's 14 minutes left about 5 minutes ago? And he was like, yeah, number hadn't changed. And about 10 minutes later, he's like, well, screw it. And he just starts grabbing handfuls of clothes out of a lake inside there, just like dripping across the entire laundromat as he just throws them into the dryer.
Let me tell you what, General, it was one of those plans. It was one of those plans where there was a Denny's next door to the laundromat. So Jeff and I are like,
yeah, let's go get a grand slam.
Dude, it worked perfectly.
It did. It would have worked perfectly.
It worked perfectly.
If I didn't have, like, machine failure, it would have been a perfect plan, which would have made me so happy. But then I felt like I kind of let Jeff down because
you did.
My clothes, and he had to wait around.
Yeah, you failed.
He was, like, kind of waiting. Yeah. He was on the phone. I could tell he was irritated with me. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. But he had it nailed because he was like, here's the thing. Here's the plan, right? Great coach, bad scout, Brian Broaddus.
There you go.
He goes, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in there. Pow! We're going to hit the washing machine. It's going to tell us it's going to take 30 minutes or whatever. We're going to go over to Denny's. We're going to eat the Denny's, pay for the Denny's, come back. The wash will be done. We'll toss them in the dryer. 15 minutes later, we're out of there. So what did I do? Put it in the washing machine, walked to the Denny's, had the moons over my hammy.
My
substituted sausage for the
hash browns. Hash browns.
Yeah, I just wanted to get some sausage instead. Paid for it, walked over, washing machine had 1 minute left, finished, threw it in the dryer, rock and roll. But Brian screwed it all up.
14 minutes on the delicate cycle, it had not moved. You could have done a better job with the ladies at the river with rocks beating on my clothes. You know, that could have been that, you know, we could have done it faster than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cowboys advice based on something Jerry told us earlier today. We had Jerry on at 2 o'clock. And we were talking about Randy Gregory. And he said that Randy Gregory has been one of, I believe he said best, one or two players out here on either side of the ball.
Yeah.
So this is a campaign I've led before. I just want to see if everybody's on board with it. 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Because I remember back in like 13, 14, 15, I have a terrible memory. They thought Tyrone Crawford, they were going to move him to the 3 technique. They were going to a 4-3, and he was going to be a star. Yeah. So they signed him to a 5-year, $45 million deal. They tried to get out in front of it because they thought that Tyrone was about to go have 12 sacks, and if we hadn't signed him yet, whoo, we're going to have to pay out the bottom for this dude. And so Randy Gregory
was probably really fired up about him or something.
Yeah, probably.
That's true.
And so now you find yourself in a similar position with a guy that I think it's going to happen, that you have invested 5 years now? 6 years?
I think it's 6 years.
6 years now? And Randy Gregory and fighting through the and I don't want to make it out like that makes you altruistic. They knew he was good and the rule that was keeping him sidelined was stupid.
Yeah.
But like you've gone through all that. You've had Randy Gregory around for a long time without getting the production that his talent says you should be getting over a period of time. And now he's had a full offseason. Now the stupid weed rules are different. Now he's in a better place. Now he's out there on the field and he's showing it. And what could happen is Randy Gregory plays football this year. He has 12 sacks. The season ends and suddenly Randy Gregory is worth $22 million a year to people. And you went through all that to get 1 year out of a guy that played really, really well. So I'm just back in the saddle of the campaign of let's talk to Randy Gregory's agent. Let's see if we can get out in front of this thing. Hey, we think you're about to be awesome, but we're going to tell you we think you're about to be good because we would like to pay you as a good defensive end over the next 4 or 5 years so that we don't run into this, all right, Randy is balling, and we just had a great year. Oh, there he went. Holy cow, somebody signed him. I'm trying to get this thing done before we start.
I know they've been patient
season.
With him. Heck, I think it was 3 years ago they tried to give him a deal that the NFL league office shot down.
They were just trying to give him money.
Yeah.
They were just trying to give him cash.
He was getting fined so much he was like playing for free.
Yeah.
I mean, they were taking game checks away from him. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the roster, it says he's in his fourth year. But it feels like that Randy Gregory has been here 7 years with all the things that he's had to go through. But I think he's just had some terrible, terrible luck with his case. Not only like say the league kind of coming around on the problems, but he had a guy at the league office that was pushing things through for him, pushing things through, and then all of a sudden was gone. Mm. That guy gone, and now it was like, well, wait a minute, who's got Randy's case? Well, nobody's got Randy's case. Well, wait, we've got to get somebody on Randy's case now. So though now that's the whole new thing of all that headway that they made with the case and trying to get it, you know, taken care of. They had to start from square one again. And, you know, that just put him further behind. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I'm so happy for Randy in a way because, again, I was one of those guys that was super, super critical in the wrong way. And the fact that he even said, hey, man, and I apologize. And he said, bro, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're good. And I'm like, oh, geez, what a
relief.
Guy. Yeah, what a guy this is. But the fact that he's out there and, you know, he's getting to compete, he physically looks good. You know, after a rep against Tyron Smith, Tyron kind of, you know, and everybody's seen it on Twitter. You know, he gets and he slides and he slips a little bit. But afterwards, he goes up to Tyron Smith and he's asking him. You could tell he's like, okay, man, that move I gave you was nothing, right? And you could see Tyron's like, well, when you went.
Actually, it's this terrible practice field. You weren't able to stop. You almost put out your
hand. But you could tell, like, the old Randy would have just kind of gone back and, you know, now this Randy that's kind of got a new opportunity is he's trying to figure it out. Why did I not have success on that rush?
Yeah.
Where before it was, he's probably beat down and he'll just go back to the line and wait for the next rep.
Well, if Jeff's right and he does go out there and have a big year, it's going to be a huge payday for him.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Cowboys are going to want to. So your opportunity is to pay him now or hope that – your diligence and your patience with him pays off and he's willing to do a team-friendly deal. But I wouldn't even consider that if I'm Randy. I'd say you're Jerry Jones, the most powerful owner in the NFL, and in your league I sat there for 5 years struggling, working at Amazon or wherever I was working,
right,
when you should have raised hell and got the consensus necessary to clear the path. So I appreciate that you were patient with me, but I would kind of look at it like every single person involved in the NFL has a role in the chaos that was my last 6 years. You know, and so I don't know how he's going to look at it. I think you give it a shot if you're the Cowboys to try to, you know, play up that like, hey, you know, this is family and we showed that it was more about football with you and patience. And I would say back, you wouldn't have if I wasn't so damn talented, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true in every aspect of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did when I was reading about Randy in the Athletic, like he was quoted in there and he was talking about Jerry and – it's a safe assumption that he's a big fan of Jerry's, where it's like, yeah, Jerry's, you know, he's been there for me and he's been.
That's worth something, man, because he's been through it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. One other thing from the practices over the weekend and our man of the match on that was Sunday, right? My day's running
Hoppy,
together.
Last night, our with the header.
Who?
82nd minute. What? Gold Cup. Oh, man of the match.
Yeah, our man of the match in the football practice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Is that in America?
Oh, dude, Hoppy's coming.
Is that USA?
Yeah.
We did a thing?
Yeah,
who'd we beat?
Jamaica.
At AT&T.
Quarterfinals.
Who's got next? Who wants some?
Qatar? Is it Qatar? I think it's Qatar.
I don't know. I don't know about Qatar being in the
Qatar,
Gold Cup.
Qatar. I asked people how to say that, and I've heard.
You guys
it
better
ways.
Figure it out, because Brian, right now, you are just really going right at Gavin's credibility, trying to put. Qatar
are you talking?
In this
you're
thing.
Talking Olympics. You're talking Olympic soccer. I was talking Gold Cup soccer.
I was talking There's, Gold Cup.
Really?
Yeah. I think the next.
I'm just going to kick my feet up and let this bad boy play out. This is the best fight we've ever had.
General might be proving me wrong here.
Who's USA about to play in the Gold Cup? 877-881-1053. And what do you win? Is it actually a Golden Cup? Is it?
General, is General going to make me embarrassed?
No, there's
a golden
Cutter.
Bowl?
Cutter.
Yeah.
Is that who we got?
Yeah.
Is that who we're playing?
Yeah,
soccer genius brought us.
Thank you, man.
Look
appreciate
at you.
How are they
bro?
You got
the
some hand
cup.
Sanitizer if you want to put it on you.
How did they even get in this thing? Where are they? Where are they on a map?
They're
next like
to Saudi
in the
Arabia.
East. Yeah.
Next to Saudi Arabia.
I thought the Gold
this
Cup
is the
was people around us.
So they're holding the World Cup there in November.
So they put them in the Gold Cup?
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. They've been the surprise, country in this
We
thing.
Are going to kick their butt.
Okay.
This tournament is for people around us. You came a long way to take this tail whooping. That's what's about to happen. But anyway, what I was saying about the Cowboys, the man of the match was Dalton Schultz on Sunday. Our
he
guy
was
balling outside of a drop on a butt-naked play where you shouldn't have dropped the ball. But he's kind of been killing it over a couple of days.
He has.
It's making me re-examine my priors, because you go and you look back at Blake Jarwin, who's been paid and he's flashed good ability,
mm-hmm.
but in their careers, let me see this. Dalton Schultz has more career receiving yards than Blake Jarwin does. Dalton Schultz had a 600-yard year last season. Blake Jarwin's never had 400. Do we need to start reimagining who's the best tight end on this roster?
I'll tell you what, though. The thing that Dalton Schultz is playing with a ton of confidence right now. And I was, a guy that was throwing dirt on the Dalton Schultz. Like, listen, guy comes out of Stanford, never felt like that. You know, you watched him play. He was a lot of the things you're seeing now with his ability to get down the field, run after catch, find the soft spot, be secure. I mean, he made a nice sliding across the field, low ball catch. You know, these are things he did at Stanford, and I was very, very critical of him his first couple of years. And then, you know, he got the opportunity to be a starter last year, and it, boom, took off for him. So he's really picked up from where he was last year.
Just looks smooth.
He is. It's easy.
Like,
for,
he's not like he's a bursty, explosive guy.
Very easy. The way the movement,
finds his way.
Movement is very easy for him. And so, and he's a very sure-handed receiver.
Outside of the one drop, we saw that, Dalton. Yeah.
I felt like the ball was a little high.
Don't talk about my quarterback, okay?
No, it was like he was uncovered and Dak just popped up to try and get it to him, and it was like,
yeah, and then he dropped it.
Well, it was a little high. It was a little high. I mean, especially after catching two balls in a row, maybe Dalton was a little gassed. It couldn't jump up to get the
ball.
Got
a little too used to the ball being right there in the bread basket.
I tell you what, Dak has thrown some really, really, really nice balls.
Thank
he sure
you.
Has.
I wish he would have taken a yard off the one to Gallup down the left sideline.
It's a shame Gallup. We talked about Gallup. He had to wait for it a little bit. You know,
he also looks old from time to time. I think that's a preview from coming back from the injury. Yeah,
yeah.
Dak.
Oh,
with the way his
he looks
wheels
old?
Go. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a preview because he hasn't fully recovered from the injury yet. That's how he's going to run when he's 36.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
And he's going to run that way probably for the next 6 months.
Yeah, you
or
and
so.
I were sitting down on the fence line. And remember, I was pointing out when he was running those routes out there. I'm like, he looks a little gimpy over there right now. I'm like, well, he's trying to kind of run these
And what were
routes.
You saying? It just it takes him like the individual drills in the first half hour or so?
It's like Britt Brown hands him some WD-40 and he sprays it on his wound and he kind of gets out there and he gets going, yeah.
Yeah, it's good, though. He's throwing
throwing the ball well.
He is going to be just fine. I think there will be some moments you're like, whoa, what was that? Yeah. And it's like it's trying to come back from a compound fracture in 9 months.
Sure.
Or 8 months, whatever it's been. Okay, that's it, Jeff?
That's the end,
great
yeah.
segment. Jeff and Brian's segment of the day every afternoon at 4:20 right here on your home of the Cowboys. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the rest of the world of pro football news as we go around the NFL here in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Let's go around the NFL, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Lot going on here as teams are getting set to report and all that. Here's Jeff Kavanaugh with First Down.
All right, so the Green Bay Packers are on the verge of having an agreement with Aaron Rodgers that'll have him come back to the team for one last year this season. And the way the story goes is by playing around with void years and restructuring things, that it would be set up where the Packers, after this season, have to trade Aaron Rodgers and that he would get to pick where he goes. Which is a little wild because it means that the team that he picks is going to be like, why should I give you anything? He'll only come to us. Here's a seventh rounder. But I guess there's a deal in the NFL where you're like, well, we'll give you a little something. We'll try to make it almost fair. But that's the way that is. So the other day, the story came out that Devontae Adams was like, we're done negotiating. Don't talk to me. You guys aren't offering me enough money. I don't want to be here long term. He's going in the final year of his deal. The reworked Aaron Rodgers deal is going to reopen negotiations with Devontae Adams, which means that he's open to, I don't care if I'm playing with Aaron Rodgers, but apparently what they're going to do with Aaron Rodgers' money makes it so that in the future they have more for Devontae Adams. So they are reopened for business. Devontae says, you may give me all the money, and I will take all the money thanks to Aaron doing weird whatever. And party.
Man, I don't know if I want that money if I'm Devontae Adams. You know, I'm like, I don't want to be here for rebuilding. This is Green Bay. It's only cool to be here if we're winning a lot.
They're just going to reload, Gavin. Jordan Love, the future. He's waiting in the wings.
Sure. I guess if you believe in Jordan Love. Yeah. Have we heard anything out of practice that he's...
The fact that you haven't heard, and they would be behind the Cowboys. Like, I'm sure they just reported, or they're just reporting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
He had lots of chances to improve here with A-Rod being out.
You know, the fact that this Aaron Rodgers thing is happening and is such a big deal means that Jordan Love's probably not any good. Because they're sitting there going, we have to give Aaron whatever he wants, guys. We got to try to win this Super Bowl. But what about the first-round pick, guys? He sucks. We need to get Aaron now. That's at least that would be my read on it, is that so far not real impressed with Jordan Love.
Well, if he does get traded to the NFC East, it appears he will be 1 year older when he arrives. As we also have second down here in news of another quarterback who is potentially going to be traded. The NFL has said nothing to Deshaun Watson as to whether he'll be placed on paid leave or not. I would appreciate a little bit of a heads up on this kind of deal. You know, I think this is one of the ways that the NFL could help their players out a little bit more. I mean, I know he has been accused of something, and I know it's your track record to assume that those accusations with some players are confirmation that the guy's guilty. But I think you could help teams. Like, it reminds me of 4 years ago when we were sitting right here and the rumor came through that Zeke was going to be suspended, and Jerry Jones was like, no, I haven't heard anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, but
because Jerry was told he wasn't going to be suspended.
Yeah,
Jerry
that's right.
Jerry was told that, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to let Deshaun Watson know, but there are several other updates, including 10 criminal complaints are now pending against Deshaun Watson, including two from ladies who are not in the civil suit. So he's got that to wrestle with as well.
So many massages.
Yeah, a lot of massages.
So many.
And it's called a fetish.
Okay. Everybody's got a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've
heard
that before.
Thing.
Like, everybody has
that's
a thing.
That's how he hides it.
Yeah. Like, I have a thing that I, you know, I end up telling people about after a couple of fireballs. But we've all got a thing. We just have to make sure our thing doesn't start creeping into sexual assault territory.
Right.
And then your thing is more acceptable. And
there
okay.
you go.
Yeah.
Do you think it arouses people to get massaged?
I think in his case, yeah, probably so, yeah.
Okay, so the other thing is there's reports coming out of Houston that the Texans have sort of changed their stance on the no trading thing that they've been holding the line on for a lot of the offseason, and shortly after reporting for camp, perhaps we could have a Deshaun Watson trade out of Houston.
It's going to be such a weird deal because whoever does it right now with all of this unresolved, like, if you're the Texans, yeah, well, the starting point is still at least three first-round picks. We have a young, incredible quarterback. There's no way we're giving him to you for less than that. And for the team who's going to receive that, it's like, man, that press conference is going to suck for us, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, hey, we gave up everything. We're super excited about our new quarterback. And the first media member's question is going to be, right, but what about all the sexual assault? And you're going to be like, well,
Pending.
Correct. That's
no comment.
Pending. And next question. All right, but what about the 22 accusations of sexual assault? Well, like, what
can't comment on something in litigation.
That is going to be a real
the question.
Weird day.
It is, but I think what we're going to see is many teams that don't have a quarterback will be willing to sit through it because they know there's not a Ray Rice get out of the league for good edict on the other side of it. It's embarrassing and it's going to be tough to get through. But when you get through it, you'll be happy you did.
Philadelphia is a team that has gone through a quarterback controversy before about a guy getting signed.
Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Great point.
You know, with the whole thing with the dogs and the stuff like that. I mean, that backlash that Jeff Lurie went through for that, you know, probably gave him a little bit of an idea. Like, hey, we can survive things here if we just get the right guy.
When they made the trades they did, I was absolutely sure they were going to be drafting a quarterback. And then when they did, and it's like, huh?
Yeah.
Could they have known this was coming all along and it be their main plan? I think so. I think that's possible.
I think so. Or they might not have liked the guys that were in this
that
draft.
Too.
And maybe they're thinking about another one.
Well, okay.
But they also like their quarterback that they
Occam's
drafted.
Razor.
They like him.
All right.
Well, to that point, I think there are multiple teams that are doing exactly what you're saying, where they're slow playing something they know is coming. I think Denver's doing the same thing. They're about to go into a year with Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater because they were like, well, we're going to try to get Rodgers, but if we can't, we'll get him next year. And so we're just intentionally going to go through a year with bad quarterback play because we think Aaron Rodgers is waiting.
You got George Patton, who's a new general manager there in Denver, and he's inherited a coach. It might be a thing where he's like, listen, I'm going to blow all these cats out if they don't win. I'll have a high pick. I'll pick my quarterback and we'll be fine.
All right, here's Brian Broaddus then with third down.
Yeah, real quick. You know, I asked Jerry Jones the question about what he told – Bill Parcells, and he told us what I was hoping was Jerry was going to – they went into a room before the draft. They physically went into a room in Larry Lacewell's office and sat down and talked about, listen, we're going to take DeMarcus Ware here. We're going to – that's our guy. And it was really nip and tuck, guys. It really was. I mean, Parcells fought really, really hard for Sean Merriman. And by the way, that first year after Merriman played, we were all like, oh, no, not again. You know, oh, no, we didn't mess up this thing. And
yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, but to you know, I was interested because Bill, when he came into the war room for the start of the draft, like Jerry came in and Jerry was so fired up. Jerry's like, yeah, he's like clapping his hands and, you know, he's ready to go. And Steven was behind him. And here comes Parcells. And like Parcells was like, his face was like he didn't have any emotion at all.
Like he'd seen a ghost or like he'd been in a fight.
Like he knew that he'd gone to the principal's office and he's now expelled.
Mm.
He knew that that was what was going on. And Larry Lacewell looked over at me and kind of gave me the look like, because he saw Parcells and he's thinking, we're going to draft where? We're going to draft where? By the way he saw Parcells' reaction. Because if Parcells came in all jacked up and ready to, all right, guys, here we go. And Bill didn't do that at all. As the draft, we had the two picks. And once that pick was made, everybody was excited. Bill wasn't excited. And then immediately turned his attention to go get Marcus Spears. You know, that immediately. I mean, it was like, it wasn't, all right, I don't have time to cheerlead with you guys and be all excited about where. You know, I've got to figure out how to get my guy, you know. And before the draft, I mean, he liked Merriman. He liked Spears. I mean, these were guys that he, you know, Chris Canty was a guy we had in that draft. I mean, so.
That was a good get.
You know, it was a really good get. It was a bunch of good gets, but it was amazing. I could say, I just wanted to know what Jerry said, but he told the neat little story about the little contract.
Sound like he kind of cowboyed him in there, like, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Not a damn thing you can do about it. And then Jerry saunters back in there and says, write DeMarcus Ware on that card.
Write DeMarcus Ware on that card. And I guess they say the rest is history.
Great stories from Jerry. We'll relive some of the highlights. I believe we have audio cuts coming up, so we'll talk about what we learned from Jerry when he joined us. And how Jeff and Brian might just buy the best dive bar in the world.
Let's go!
When we return right here, hour number 4 in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.